The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 12:03, Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who is in the Pacific Northwest, and if you've paid attention to his Facebook page, you've noticed that he is enjoying himself up there. Got some beautiful pictures of Oregon, so be careful. Be sure to go check that out if you want to see what Bill is doing. He said there's no clouds and no rain, so I feel like he brought the... He took away all of the sunshine from Tucson and brought it over to the Pacific Northwest, and we've had a lot of rain and clouds and kind of unseasonably cool temperatures here in Tucson, which is good, but we always do like to have some rain. We need it in Tucson. It's going to be a good show today. If you're tuning in, I'm Ray Allen, usually sitting on this side of the glass pushing buttons for Bill, who's our normal host, but today I'm actually board hopping and hosting the show for him, so it's going to be fun. We have a lot of good guests coming up, so be sure to keep tuning in to the Buckmaster Show. Let's start off today with Ray Lindstrom. Forbes magazine has called him the indefatigable promoter. USA Today has said that he was a visionary. The Hollywood Reporter referred to him as a man of destiny. He's made frequent appearances on the NBC Today Show, the CBS Evening News, and CBS Morning Show. But before Ray Lindstrom became a nationally famous marketing entrepreneur, he grew up here in Tucson, was part of early radio and TV here in the 50s and 60s, graduated from Catalina High School and the University of Arizona, and is credited with being the man who gave us the television infomercial. Now, Ray will forgive you for that, but welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Well, hi, Ray. It's great to be here. As a matter of fact, you know, it feels so good to be here in front of a microphone again and be on the radio at a real radio station. Gosh, it's been a long time.
I'm sure it has. And you know what's really cool is that we have two Rays on the show. It's always nice when you have a couple Rays.
No, that's right. And, you know, Ray, people don't name their kids Ray anymore. You know, all those great old names, they're not around anymore.
No, they're not.
But it's still a few of us left, I guess.
There are. You know, I guess I took my dad's name, so... So I guess, you know, every now and then you get one. And maybe if I have a kid, I'll pass it along. Who knows?
That's good. That's good.
So tell, you know, I think if you grew up in Tucson, I grew up in Tucson. I've been here my whole life.
Oh, no kidding.
I did, yeah.
That's great.
I'm a young guy, but I didn't go to the U of A like you did. But I've been here my whole life, and I've enjoyed every minute of it because it's such a great community. But if you're, you know, older than me, you definitely were listening and watching television and radio back in the old days, and you were part of that.
Well, it was really an exciting time. You know, it was in the 50s, late 50s and early 60s. I graduated from Catalina High School in 1959, and a buddy of mine and I, his name is Bert Schneider, and he's been on the PBS radio station for quite a long time now, but he and I, we went to high school together, and all we wanted to do was be on the radio. We wanted to be disc jockeys. We wanted to be part of that scene. And it was at a time when things were really changing. And there were two things that happened to radio back in the 50s. Number one was television. You know, there used to be all the old dramas on
sure.
radio. People would sit around and they'd watch the radio while they would listen to Jack Benny or Bob Hope or Amos and Andy or any of those great old shows.
A foreign concept to young people like me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and I remember we actually lived in Chicago at the beginning of my life. And Chicago had television in 1948 through 1950. And we could see those shows, and it was really amazing. But I remember a time before we had television, when I was just a kid, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, where we would watch the radio and listen to those things. And it was a real theater of the mind, where you would think about, you know, they would portray dramas and things like that. And you know, it was your imagination that took over.
Exactly.
Well, we came first to Tucson in 1950. And one thing was a real shock is the fact that when we came here, we came from Chicago where they had TV, but Tucson didn't have television yet.
Wow.
Television didn't get here until 1953. And so, you know, there was no television, but of course radio was a thriving industry. But, you know, I talked about my friend Bert and I. We went to high school together, and all we wanted to do was be disc jockeys. And in I was saying there were two things that affected radio in those days. Number one was the fact that television was around. But the second thing was Elvis Presley and rock and roll came to town. And those two things just changed radio dramatically. But he and I really wanted to be on radio, and we finally got our first chance in 1958. There was one FM station in town. And in those days, nobody listened to FM. Nobody had an FM radio. But there was one FM station, and it was KTKT-FM, and he and I got a chance to be disc jockeys on KTKT-FM. You know, nobody had radios. I said my parents had to go out and buy a radio to listen to.
A special radio.
And we were only 15 years old, so our parents had to drive us to the station.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they played all classical music. FM stations in those days, they just played classical music. And so we were playing this music, and we were so bad. We were working for free. We were just volunteers. And we were so bad that we were working for free, and we were still worried about losing our jobs. You know, now my friend Bert, he had kind of a classical background. His parents were, they knew the classics and everything. And on Saturday night, they would sit around and listen to opera. Well, my family was different. We'd sit around on Saturday night and listen to the Grand Ole Opry, you know.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
And I would say things like, okay, now here's a selection by Wagner. Well, you know, not Wagner, but Wagner.
Yeah.
You know, like Robert Wagner. Or here's Pablo Casals will now play his cello.
Well, when you're 15, I'm not sure you have all this.
Oh, we had no knowledge at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did that for a while. And then I got a job in television when I turned 16. I was a prop boy at Channel 13. If you can believe that, there was no videotape in those days. Everything was live.
Yeah.
Everything was live. And later on, after I graduated from Catalina High School, then I started working, and I got all kinds of different jobs. And, you know, my first job I got was on KAIR radio. It was midnight to 6. And no audience whatsoever.
It's a nice
nobody
shift.
Listened. Yeah. Nobody listened.
It's a good good training shift.
Well, it was a good training shift. You know, I mean, those opportunities are gone today.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't. That's why this station where I am right now, sitting in front of this microphone live, is a real radio station.
Yeah.
This is the way radio was. It was real. There were real people here broadcasting. It wasn't some satellite feed from Chicago or Dallas or New York. You guys have a real radio station.
It's true.
I love it. You know, I do miss the fact that there are no turntables or cartridge machines to press. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that is. You know, they don't have those anymore. We have digital cart machines, and you know, the turntables have all been thrown away, but that's all right.
I know. It's really a shame. But, you know, I worked at all kinds of different jobs.
Yeah.
I was on K-Gun TV, Channel 9, for a while doing announcements, and that's when I was 18 years old, and I was actually doing commercials. You know,
sure.
I'd wear my suit and do commercials late at night and that sort of thing. And then after working at many radio and TV stations, I finally got my dream job, which was to be a disc jockey on the number one station in town, the great old rock and roll giant KTKT,
awesome.
Color Channel 99. Boy, that was it. And I had the Ray Lindstrom show every night from 6 to 9, and I did the Top 40 show on Saturday, and where we introduced the top 40 hits from our hit sheet. And so that was the absolute epitome of my career here in Tucson, was being a disc jockey, Ray Lindstrom, KTKT. Boy, that was just great.
That's cool. Now tell me about how you ended up getting into the infomercial business, because, you know, I'm not going to say that I don't like infomercials. I think they have a place in late night TV. But tell me how you developed it.
Well, I left Tucson. I graduated from the university. Finally, you know, I was on the 6-year plan, and I finally graduated. And I went up to Phoenix, and I got into a radio in Phoenix. And from radio, I went to television, and I was a salesman at the NBC station in Phoenix. And that's where I really learned the power of television. It was so good in those days. Ray, you have no idea how fabulous it was. Because first of all, you know, there were no remote clickers at all.
Sure.
And every market had maybe 3 or 4 television stations. I mean, people, they put their channel, they put it on channel 9 here, and they'd put it on 4, 9, or 13, or 11, and they would sit back on the sofa and they'd watch it. They'd watch all the commercials. There was no internet. I mean, there was no VCR to record programs.
Of course. So the audience was more dedicated.
It was just fabulous. No kidding. So if an advertiser went on television, I mean, everybody knew that he was there. Well, you know, I had a real epiphany. I was working for Channel 12 in Phoenix, and I wanted to get into management. And I asked the boss one day, I said, you know, I'd like to get into management. I said, when am I going to have my chance? Because the guys from the sales department were being made managers at various other stations in the chain that they were.
Sure.
And I said, when am I going to get my chance to be in management? And my boss said, never. And I said,
wow.
What? Never? Yeah, you're not management material.
Wow.
You're a good salesman, but you'll never be in management. You know, I was so insulted by that I quit my job. And I had a good job, and I was making lots of money, and I was a pretty good salesman. And I had a wife and kids, and we had a new home in Scottsdale. And, I mean, life was really great. And I just said, that's it. And I went home that night, and I told my wife, I said, you know what? I quit my job today. And she said, what? I said, I quit my job today. You got to be crazy. What are you going to do? I said, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that I'm never going to work for anybody ever again.
Wow.
And at that moment, that was the moment that I became an entrepreneur. And I never, since that day in 1972, I've never worked for anybody else again.
Wow. And is that how you ended up developing the infomercial?
Well, it stemmed out of that? Yeah. I started an advertising agency, and the advertising agency got involved in different things. One of the things that we got involved in was we were doing seminars, and we were doing real estate seminars.
Sure.
And we would go from town. We had these people that would deliver speeches on how to get rich with real estate and then turn it into an instant income with the stroke of a pen. And we had a guy who was a terrific speaker, and the people really liked. And we sold a lot of home study courses, and people would go to we would advertise on television and newspaper, and people would go to a hotel ballroom, and they would hear my speaker. Paul Simon was his name, not the singer. This is the speaker, Paul
Different
Simon.
Different Paul Simon.
Right. So Paul would get up in front of the crowd, and he'd tell people about this system. And then when it was over, he would sell them this home study course for $295. I mean, it wasn't cheap. We weren't selling kitchen gadgets or anything.
Yeah.
So I had the idea that everybody thought was really foolish. I said, what if we eliminated, you know, going to the hotel ballroom? This was right at the beginning of cable television. Cable television was just starting to be big.
Yeah.
And, you know, like CNN had just signed on, and ESPN was just beginning. It was really the beginning of cable television. So I thought, okay, what would happen if we took that seminar and just put it on television and had people order from their home? And we would advertise, you know, watch this program tonight on channel such and such, or on the USA Television Network or Lifetime or wherever it was. Watch this show and learn about real estate and how you can make money in it. And so I made this program, and we put it on, and after the first weekend, we sold over $1 million worth of courses.
Wow.
So
that
was the beginning of the infomercial industry. And so we had this company, it was called Media Arts International, and We started with this one guy, Paul Simon, but then we added other people. We had other speakers. We had Zig Ziglar. We had Learn How to Get Rich with Penny Stocks. We had Bobby Singer and Learn How to Win at Blackjack. We had
a lot of names that people recognize
Tommy
today.
Tommy Hopkins, how to sell real estate.
Yeah.
We had all these different programs, and we kept putting them out there. And whatever we put out there, basically, it was a fabulous seller. And that was the beginning of the infomercial industry.
Wow. And that was the beginning of you kind of being an entrepreneur, creating things.
Well,
doing
it really
things
was. Actually, I could say that it really started in high school, because what I didn't tell you about was my friend Bert and I, we started a company called Zoom Records when we were in high school.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had a record company. Remember those old black records with the big holes in the middle?
Sure, I have some still.
And we put out four releases on Zoom Records. We were Southern Arizona's first record company. And, you know, I've written a book, and I know you haven't asked me
about it. We're getting there. I got to go to a break soon,
okay,
though.
Okay, I'm
so
sorry.
We're
I'm
getting
just
to the book.
I'm gabbing away here. I'll let you go to the break.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to ask you if you like baked goods. Do you like eating those wonderful baked goods?
Because of course I do.
Of everyone
I love
does.
Baked goods.
Well,
who doesn't like baked
there
goods?
There you go. So you're a perfect person.
I ate some baked goods on the way up here today.
There you go.
Fact.
So you're a perfect person to lead into one of Buckmaster's wonderful sponsors. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mona's Danish Bakery, ooh, the home of the Danish Kringle. Have you been to Mona's?
Oh, I have. What a fabulous place.
Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Bill just rants and raves about it. So owner Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with their European baked goods. They have breads, pastries, cakes, luscious brownies, and they're open for lunch for you right now. If you want to head up to Mona's Danish Bakery, they're on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can also go to buckmastershow.com for a link to all of the Mona's Danish Bakery information and a link to all of the wonderful advertisers on the Buckmaster Show. We have Roberta on the phone, and we're also going to talk to Ray Lindstrom about his book on the other side of this break. On the Buckmaster Show, I'm Ray Allen filling in for Bill. We'll be right back after this.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
1221 on the Buckmaster Show, Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and we're still joined by Ray Lindstrom, who is, as we've been talking about, an old-time radio and TV guy here in the Tucson area and all around the world, but he's also the author of a book, Fearless, Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur. We're going to get to that book in just a second, but I wanted to bring in Roberta, who called in 790-2040. Roberta, you wanted to talk to Ray, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Roberta.
Thank you so much for bringing back old memories. I'm 2 years younger than you, and I don't know anyone my age anymore who has all those memories.
Oh, boy. The memories come flooding back, I'm telling you. You know, it's just, like I said, just being here in the radio station makes me remember those great old days.
Oh, yeah. I terribly miss the disc jockeys. I listen to this station all week, but on Sundays I listen to music, and I really miss the disc jockeys telling us who's singing and the name of the song.
Oh, yeah.
I recognize the songs, but not the name
of
them.
Well, did you listen to KTKT in the old days?
No, I was in Milwaukee. My family was from Chicago.
Well, they had a station just like KTKT, I bet, back there where you listened to all those rock and roll hits.
All right, Roberta, thank you so much for calling in, okay?
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. It's
no
so
problem.
Interesting.
It is. All right, bye-bye. Well, Ray, you wrote a book. Now, you were telling us about Zoom Records, Southern Arizona's first record company. That's your introduction to entrepreneurship as a 15-year-old, right?
Yeah, as well, 17-year-old.
Or 17-year-old,
yeah,
okay.
We were as
still
old as
still pretty young.
Right. So, you know, we made these records, and Bert and I, we decided we wanted to go in the record business. And, of course, the record business was a fairly simple thing. You know, you made a record. You got the record played on the radio. People went into the record stores and bought it. And the record stores would buy the record from you. And when they sold it, they would pay you for it. And that was a very simple thing. The only thing that was difficult about it was, how do you make a record? We didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Especially as a 17-year-old.
So we had to find out. So I went home for lunch one day in high school, and I called up to Sidney J. Wakefield Custom Record Pressing in Phoenix, and I told Mr. Wakefield, I said, hi, I'm this 17-year-old kid in high school, and I'm in Tucson, and I want to make a record. Could you tell me how I can do it? And he told me, it took about 2 minutes on the phone, and he said, here's what you do. You come up, you get a recording studio in Phoenix. There were none in Tucson in those days, if you can imagine.
Wow.
No recording studios here.
Yeah.
So he said, come to Phoenix, go into the recording studio, and he said, then I will take the tape that you make, and I will press it and make a record out of it. Tell us what you want to put on the label,
sure. And
that's it. Tell me how many copies of it you want, and we'll make it for you, and we'll send it back to you. It was that simple. So that was the first really entrepreneurship that I was involved in, and believe me, over the last 40 or 50 or 60 years, I've had over 100 businesses that I've started, because that's what an entrepreneur is. I never liked to run the business. I was an entrepreneur. I love to start them.
You start things and you hand them off and allow other people to make money.
Exactly. And you know, the funny thing was, when that guy told me I wasn't management material, I wasn't. He was right. I was not a guy that wanted to run the business. I wasn't qualified, and I didn't like to do it. But if I had a good idea, I could always get somebody else to do it.
You could sell that idea. So now you have a book.
So I've written a book, and it's called Fearless, Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur by Ray Lindstrom. Wild rides with the man who created the infomercial industry, the world's most important website, and over 100 different businesses. And it's a 320-page hardbound book. And I'm introducing it this coming Tuesday, October 23rd, at the Arizona History Museum. And all of your listeners are invited to come. I'd love to have them come. And I will give them a free copy of this book. It's worth $28.95. I'm going to introduce it. I'm going to talk about what's in the book. And it's absolutely free of charge. So it's this coming Tuesday, October 23rd, 4:30 in the afternoon. You'll have plenty of time to go out to supper that night. We're just going to have a lot of fun. It's not a book about big business or, you know, Mitt Romney takeovers or or accounting or anything sure. like that. It's just a fun book with my experiences. But included in there are 22 Lindstrom's Laws, valuable tips for starting from scratch, because I learned the hard way, so you don't have to. And the first Lindstrom law in here is number one, if you don't know how to do something, you ask. Just exactly, just about every business I was ever in, I didn't know anything about it.
Sure.
But I went to find out about
well,
it,
and, that's what
and you, I asked, and that's how Zoom Records got started.
That's what you did when you were a kid, and you called up that record pressing company.
Exactly.
You know, you'd be amazed at how much just one little phone call, or one nowadays email or message to someone, how far it can get you.
Exactly. And in those days, it was really difficult because people don't understand how difficult it was without the internet, because today it's so easy to find out things. Today it's got to be really easy to find out just about anything. But if you want to do something, call people, talk to them. People are always happy to help you out. And so that's the number one thing in the book, is if you don't know anything about it, which I was in all kinds of different businesses. You know, I started a newspaper one time. What do I know about starting a newspaper? I asked somebody, how do you start a newspaper? And they said, here's what you do. And I did it.
So,
you know,
so
those type
of
things.
Out of all the businesses that you've started, what is the one that you're most proud of?
Well, I think it's probably the infomercial business was the thing that I was most proud of. We also started a thing that you may have heard of, and that was the Traveling Starving Artist Art Sale, which appeared in hotel ballrooms all over the country, all over the world. We started that in 1974 and probably did $1 billion worth of business during that time.
Wow.
There are still people who do that from time to time.
Sure.
But we started that business. We started the infomercial business. We were very big players in the 900 number business, not porn. We didn't have any of those lines, but we had a lot of really entertaining lines, and it was a fabulous business. Lasted for 3 years, and then it was over with. And then in the early 1990s, I got into retail, and I had the world's largest watch store in Laughlin, Nevada, believe it or not.
Wow.
We had over 20,000 watches, and we sold more watches in that one store than anybody anywhere in the world. And that got me featured on the NBC Today Show and
sure.
all those other things. So those things were really big. But you know, and then I talk about my foray into the internet, where I said, "Move over, Mark Zuckerberg. I'm building the world's greatest, most famous, most important website."
And what was it?
And I did. And I'm going to tell them all about it.
At the event. You don't get to hear it
at
now.
The event. I would say, you know, that all these other people had a website, but this one I've got is going to be the biggest one, is going to make me a multi-billionaire.
You're good at selling,
and
Ray.
I'm going to tell you all about it. But
all right,
I want you to come to the event.
Just to recap, the event's Tuesday, October 21st, this next Tuesday.
Tuesday, October 23rd at 4:30 in the afternoon.
4:30 in the afternoon, Arizona History Museum, 949 East 2nd Street. Free parking at the 2nd Street Garage,
That's
which
exactly
is only
right.
a block and, west.
Right.
It's free admission, and you get a book. I mean, you can't beat it.
Can't beat it. We're just going to have a lot of fun, that's all. So I hope everybody comes. If you want to get more details on it, you can go to varbergpress.com.
Awesome.
V-A-R-B-E-R-G. Press.com and all the details.
Ray Lindstrom, your book, Fearless, Confessions of a Serial Entrepreneur. Really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Ray.
You're very welcome. All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for Bill. He'll be back next week.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 12:33 now on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay and visit, you want to go to their website. That's southwestnewmexico.org, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, the Buckmaster Show continues here on a Thursday, and we're now joined by my wonderful guests, Bruce Jacobs and Chuck Sawyer. They're going to be talking to us about the Rotary Car Show that's coming up this weekend. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great, thanks.
Doing great.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, introduce yourselves to the audience and tell us what we got going on for the car show this weekend.
All right. I guess I'll start. My name is Bruce Jacobs. I'm the 12th annual car show chairman of the Tucson Classics Car Show that is going to be this Saturday out at the Gregory School from 10 to 4.
Very cool. You're the man of the hour, I hear.
Rumor has it.
And I'm Chuck Sawyer, and I'm the president of the Rotary Club this year, and we're looking forward to a great, great car show coming up this weekend.
I'm sure. Now, this car show has been around for a long time, obviously. We're talking about the 12th one, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. Very cool. What can we expect if we go out there and look at all these classic cars?
You know what? It's going to be a great day out there. Fortunately, it won't be like last Saturday. We didn't need that kind of rain.
Yeah.
But there's 420 classic cars out there. It's a great family event. Kids 17 and under are free as long as they're with a paid adult. We've got a food court. We've got DJ playing 50s and 60s music. I've got a fun area for the kids to be able to play in, and just overall a great time to come out.
Cool. Now, Chuck, it's not only just an event to look at cars. There's a lot more to it. So tell me a little bit more about the people that are helping to put this on and what this benefits for the community.
Absolutely. Well, we, you know, 12 years ago had made a commitment to literacy here in town, and we had made $250,000 kind of commitment to Reading Seed, and we started to look at each other and say, well, how the heck are we going to fund this? So the car show came about as an event to be able to do that. And through the last 12 years, we've been able to raise $1.2 million to give to local charities.
Wow.
We have five charities here in town, and Bruce can run through them right now as well. Our main focus is still on literacy, and it's Make Way for Books is our main one. We're also with SARSIF, which is from Southern Arizona Research. It's the folks who put on the science fair down every year and do a great job with that. Right Flight, which is another program that allows kids who keep up their grades to go not only fly in but fly a small plane. So it's a great goal to be able to do that. We also have the Interfaith Community Services, which is well known here in Tucson, and Job Path. So those are our five charities that we'll give back almost $200,000 to this year.
Wow, that's incredible. And talk about a little bit more about literacy in Tucson. Any statistics or numbers that you can present to us and the listening audience about what's happening and if it's improving or some of the issues that are presented for the community?
Yeah, so literacy is a key thing that our club has looked at, and I think Rotary overall has looked at as well. And, we started 12 years ago. We were with Reading Seed and helping to find that, which is a program that is gets reading coaches. And if you look at that, they've done a lot of studies in terms of if you can get kids to read at grade level by grade three,
sure,
then the numbers are phenomenal in terms of graduating from high school and going on beyond that. And just the inverse is true as well. And unfortunately, in Tucson, we have still some challenges in terms of literacy and whatnot. And so Reading Seed, which is now part of Literacy Connects, which is a great organization, does a great job. We switched over about 2 years ago to help support, 3 years ago, I guess it was, Make Way for Books, which is getting books even into younger kids' hands as well and helping to teach their parents to work with it. So it's, I think, a ground kind of level way to help literacy, and it's something that we feel privileged to be able to help and work with.
Very cool. The Rotary Club of Tucson, how long have you guys been around now? It's a long time, right?
actually founded in 1921, wow. So we're coming up on our centennial event in just another couple of years.
Are you guys going to do anything special for that? Do you know yet?
Yes. One of the things that the Rotary International wants for clubs to do for their centennial is they want them to do some sort of a big signature-type project.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that as far as with the car show, this really has been our signature project, and so to try and do something in addition to would be a little bit tough. So right now what we're doing is we're evaluating, as I say, we're going to do the car show, but we're going to try and figure out how to put it on steroids.
So it's going to be the car show with like a monster truck rally in there as well.
Right, right. Well,
not quite that.
Yeah, but right over the classic car. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We're evaluating, sort of like what are some additional things we can do to be able to enhance it, whether we were able to get some celebrities in or, things of that nature.
And that'll be in
2021.
Awesome.
And for that one, we've already put out basically a request for a proposal. We want it to be a meaningful kind of thing that will contribute that has legs and will stay and whatnot. And we've made a minimum commitment of $250,000 to the beneficiary of that. So I think we've already had 41 or 42 different charities come to us. And so part of what we're going to do is say, hey, let's work with the people in town who need and want to build maybe a building or do something and see what we can do with that.
Great. Well, the car show again is coming up this weekend. Get out there. Go look at these awesome cars at the Gregory School. Talk about the title sponsor, WeBuyUglyHouses.com.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question the success of this car show over the years has really ramped up, and it really has been due to our sponsors. And, WeBuyHouses.com.
I added the wrong word in there. It's WeBuyHouses.com. That right.
Yes, that's correct. One thing I have to say is Mike Anderson is and his family, they own WeBuyHouses.com. Mike is a Rotarian. And, it's really neat. They have stepped up literally the past 5 years as our title sponsor. But, one other thing I want to mention about with him in particular is he has gone on a nationwide search each year to be able to find our Corvette for us.
Uh-huh.
And so all 12 of the vets that we've had, he's been able to find. He is definitely a car collector himself. And, you know, at their booth that's going to be out there at the entrance, some of his classic cars are going to be there on display as well.
Cool. Now let's talk about that Corvette this year. You guys are giving away a car, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So what is the Corvette that you're giving away this year?
This year, it's a 2005 C6 Corvette convertible.
Wow.
And person either wins the Corvette, or if they prefer not to take the car, is they would get $15,000 in cash.
Very cool. And all you have to do is buy a ticket to get in, or a raffle ticket when you get there. How does that work?
It's the $5 ticket for the raffle is also admission fee to get in. So it's almost like a twofer.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. You buy one ticket, you get in, you get a raffle. And as Bruce mentioned earlier, it's a great family-oriented event. Kids are free, and there's a kid area as well. So kids under 18 are free to get in with parents as well.
Very cool. Well, let's recap all the information here. Saturday, October 20th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Gregory School, 3231 North Craycroft Road. It's the grassy soccer fields. You can't miss them if you're driving down Craycroft. So easy to see.
Exactly.
The Rotary Club of Tucson's Classic Car Show. A great time to be out there with the family this weekend. It's going to be good.
We're looking forward to great weather and a great great weekend. And we expect to get almost 20,000 people who come out. And so it's a terrific time. And come out and enjoy the weekend with us.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it, too. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Bruce Jacobs and Chuck Sawyer. Thanks for coming.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, the Buckmaster Show is so happy to present their sponsors to you. And this portion of the Buckmaster Show is once again presented by Mona's Danish Bakery. They're the home of the Danish Kringle. But they also have a lot of other things they can offer you for the upcoming holidays. If you need a pie or something like that for the Thanksgiving or for maybe even Christmas, be sure to go over to Mona's Danish Bakery. They're on the, Mona's Danish Bakery is on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Again, you can also go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You can also find all the other great sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back after this.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Afternoon, Tucson, 12:47 now on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill. If you want to check out what he's doing, go to his Facebook page. He has a lot of pictures and a lot of comments on those pictures, and it's beautiful up in the Pacific Northwest where he and his wife, Ann, are enjoying themselves on this week-long journey up there. You just heard the commercial for Green Things. Want to mention that Green Things now has Zocalo Fine Mexican Imports on their 13-acre Green Things site over on River Road just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. You want to check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs and also the Zocalo Fine Mexican Imports. Go to greenthingsaz.com. That's greenthingsaz.com for all of that information there. Well, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Judith Blair to talk to us about domestic violence in Tucson and around the nation. Today happens to be Wear Purple Day to bring awareness to domestic violence. Welcome to the program, Judith Blair.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on. You know, it's one of those subjects that we have to talk about. We don't always like to talk about it, but we have to because we need to bring awareness to what's happening all over the country and here in Arizona. So we know who you are kind of around the community. You're the mother of a famous basketball player at the University of Arizona. You have a lot of other stories that you've taken part in, but tell us more about who you are, because maybe not everyone knows the full story behind you, Judith Blair.
Right. For those who think they know me, and maybe not in such a vast arena, first of all, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to share the subject that we're sharing today.
You're welcome.
I want to thank and praise God for His grace and mercy that I'm even here and survived what we're talking about today. You ask who I am. Identity. Identification produces bonding. I would have never dreamed I'd be bonded with so many people as victims of domestic violence as I am today. And from that perspective, it's gained a lot of wisdom to appropriate the knowledge I will share today. I'm going to ask your listeners to zero in. I want to speak heart to heart to you regarding things. Number one, I've been a victim of domestic violence. Number two, I've been a survivor. And that's where a lot of people end with their recognition of that. But I've been an overcomer. And that's what another thing I'd like to share today.
Sure. Well, tell us, I mean, I don't know, you have to get into all of the details, but tell us about what's happening in the domestic violence world right now. I mean, people are wearing purple today. You're wearing purple to bring awareness to that. So help us bring awareness to the issue of domestic abuse.
Okay, I'm here because I can empathize, as opposed to sympathizing, and to encourage people and give them hope, and also to educate those, as you just mentioned, who are unaware of the vastness of it, with the statistics even. 1 in 4 adult women have experienced severe physical violation in their lifetime. And that's 1 in 7 for men, which most people don't realize.
Yeah, that's a surprising statistic right there.
Domestic violence, what do we consider that? It's a pattern of abusive behavior in which one person uses assaultive or controlling behavior against another to maintain power and control. And those are two vital words, the power and the control that they want to hold over someone else.
Sure. And we don't always know why this happens, but there may be some big contributing factors. Can you speak to that at all?
Anger is one thing. In my personal experience, people say, well, why did you stay in any situation? Mine was over 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But you can go weeks, days, and months with a wonderful relationship. My ex-husband was a kind-hearted man who worked hard, but had challenges within his childhood, I think, that contributed to that. There's many myths about domestic violence. One is that only men against women have domestic violence.
Yeah, that was one of the surprising things you just mentioned, that it happens with women against men as well.
It's all demographics. That means all genders, all races, all social and economic levels.
Yeah.
Like the people in the government housing and the poorer people happens there, just like I'm sure is transpiring or going on up in the foothills with the more elite. It affects both heterosexual and same-sex couples as well. So there's a lot of myths on that. It's also the myth that it only involves physical abuse. There is also psychological abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and economical abuse. And it may not just be with partners. Some parents may be, the elderly may be violated and abused.
Can you quickly just explain some of the circumstances that people may be experiencing when they're going through these different types of abuse?
You know, I recall from long ago, they're passed away now, a gentleman in Ohio that worked in a really good job, had good income and everything, but he had no say about how the money was spent.
Sure.
His wife controlled the purse strings. That's a form of abuse, verbal abuse, and being put down all the time. The economic, the emotional, and being shamed. Projecting that it's your fault that they're abusing you. That's a big criteria that should be looked into. And it's just so prevalent. Like I said, the 1 in 4 for women, 1 in 7 for men. And within Arizona and within Pima County, the statistics that are so high for that.
Well, let's talk about today and Wear Purple Day. When did that start? I mean, has it been around for a long time, or is it something that's just started?
You know, I come here not as an authority psychologically or with that situation.
Okay.
I come here as a victim from over 40 years ago.
I understand that.
I'm not sure what year that started, but I just thank God that it started, because when this was happening to me over 40 years ago, there were no places of refuge.
There was nowhere to go.
Right. We're going to talk about Emerge today.
Sure.
And that's their specialization. Salvation Army helps people out. And also the Gospel Rescue Mission is a haven for women and families. But when it was happening to me, I didn't have family support. I didn't have any support. And with the approaching holidays, that's very significant as well, because there's more stress then. Those were my two final abusive situations.
Yeah.
Was going into Thanksgiving and ending up, I called the police. It was an attack on me physically.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled out a knife from the kitchen, and then when the police got there, they questioned whether they should arrest me or what.
Oh, no.
But warned me. I left for a couple of days, I befriended a social worker.
Yes.
My sons and I slept in her attic until I thought it was safe to go back. That was Thanksgiving. And then Christmas came, and 2 days after Christmas was the final blow. And just tremendous anger and rage on his part. And like I said, I still loved him. He still loved me. But the song, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah.
Seemed very appropriate
really
at that time.
Really applied in that situation.
And I called the police. he was apprehended, taken away. He had taken a knife to my clothing in the house, had put his feet through the stereo speakers, and the policeman came out and warned me, lady, you got to go somewhere because your life's in danger.
Yeah.
And that was a turning point. The Salvation put me up, Army put me up for 2 days in a hotel, and then my cousin, who was a minister, refused to help me, whereas a prostitute that lived at this rinky-dink hotel helped me when he wouldn't.
Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that, Judith. It's just not a good story, but I think it helps to really personalize what so many other people go through in this, and the fact that you're able to talk about it and to bring awareness to it allows people to either associate with it or come to terms with the fact that it's something that happens.
It's so prevalent, but I want to be encouraging, especially to those that are victims at this point.
Sure.
Take a stand, make a plan, call the crisis numbers, and go forward. And there's new counseling for men now, too, that's Emerge will refer you to help the men, men or women who are the perpetrators.
In the last 3 minutes that we have here, I want to talk about Emerge Center Against Domestic Abuse. They do have a hotline, so if you've got a pen, you can copy the 24-hour hotline down. The local one is 520-795-4266. They also have a national 1-888-428-0101. And they also have a website that you can visit if you're a victim or if you know a victim. Go to emergecenter.org. Tell us about what they do and how you can get involved if you need to.
They're open-hearted as well as open-minded on things. And I encourage you not to hesitate. If you have to do it privately, do that privately. They will respect that. And also, I can't emphasize enough, it's not just women. Men are being abused. Children are being abused. Seniors are being abused. And it's not just physical. It's threats. It's forced sex, coercion, blaming, hurtful, isolation. Isolation is a major factor that people may not realize. Pulling hair, pushing, intimidation, criticizing, choking. Choking is a major thing, too, that I went through. And if you're not in a safe place, at this point, there are safe places to go. And there's options that I never had 40 years ago. I praise God for the options now, the relevance and the attention to that. And there's a place to go now where I didn't have.
You didn't have that.
I delayed
when you were
and delayed
it.
Until it was there. It was crisis situation.
Sure.
When I went to my
and
option.
You had to call the cops, and it was just wasn't
right.
It doesn't have to go that far.
It doesn't.
If you're experiencing something like this right now, it doesn't have to be for you right now the way it was. Listening for you, Judith.
And I would encourage all ministers, priests, and rabbis to please get in touch with Emerge, to take their counseling or their program to become more aware, because that's one area, again, that could be helpful. And maybe they're void of the understanding, or maybe too judgmental, as my cousin was, that refused help.
Unfortunately. Okay, so let's give out the numbers one more time. And the website, emergecenter.org, and the 24-hour crisis hotline locally, 520-795-4266, nationally, 1-888-428-0101. Judith Blair, thank you so much for coming on the Buckmaster Show today,
especially
on this day, this Wear Purple Day.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. This has been the Buckmaster Show. I am Ray Allen, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who's enjoying his vacation. Tomorrow is Friday. Dan Shear will be back with the Friday Focus interview and the Roundtable, which is what they do every Friday. I'm sure Dan has a wonderful show planned out for you, but I want to tell you to have a wonderful afternoon. Again, this has been Ray Allen filling in for Bill on the Buckmaster Show. For more info, go to buckmastershow.com.